الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء المرسلين وأزواج الطاهرات أمهات المؤمنين وصحابته الغر الميامين ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهدي الى يوم الدين اما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, you are welcome to the translation of the khutbah of today, which is titled by The Forgotten Albania as I Saw. I began the khutbah by khutbah al-Hajj as you hear. And then I said, O Muslims, who of us never heard about the Muhaddith, the Imam of this time? One of those whom Allah Ta'ala brought out for the Ummah to renew their religion for them by the meaning to bring what has been forgotten of the deen back to the people. It is Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, who was born in the region of Shkodra, in the far east of Albania, which is on the border with Macedonia, and Montenegro, the two Christian countries. Who of us never heard of the story of that country? I mean Albania, in which Islam is seen for more than or before 900 years. Arab businessmen, and then by the Ottoman Emperor, by the Indies, up until the Western colonization captured that land and converted it back to Christians or Christianity, except for some. And when they left the country, they cut it pieces to weaken it and gave some of it to Montenegro and some to Macedonia, and cut one piece called Kosovo, which is occupied by both Muslims and the Serbians. And also given part of it to Greece. And by that, Islam became very weak in that area in the southeast of Europe. In the southeast of Europe, in which Albania is the only Muslim country known there after the Muslim region in Spain known by Al-Andalus. And we all know the Andalus and Cordoba, which was taken by the Christians from the Muslims to become to become a 100% Kafir country, and the Muslim became very minority, powerless. That country, Spain, Andalus, and Cordoba especially, were known by one famous Imam of Tafsir, one of the three famous Tafsir books in the world, Tafsir al-Qurtubi. Keep that area in the mind. Every time the Kuffar want us to forget it, this book, as known by Tafsir al-Qurtubi, brings to the mind of the Muslim that area, Qurtuba, which was taken from us because we were too headless about our responsibility. That's the reality of the Muslims. So Albania is one another country in Europe. But now Islam is very strange there. Even to their people, Islam is very strange. Who of us did not hear of the communist movement, which was born in Russia and spread it to many sides of the world? One of them is Albania. By one Albanian communist called Hoxha Anwar. His grandfather, as I was told there in Albania, his grandfather was a Muslim scholar and a judge. But this grandson disbelieved in all religions and became a communist. And spread it in Albania by force. They destroyed all the worshipping houses, whether mosques or churches. They prohibited the personal ownership. As we all know, that the communists believe that the wealth belongs to the home. Belongs to the whole people, not to individuals. And they force people not to be religious. Force people not to practice any religion. They used to come to the Muslim. If he prays, they kill him. If he recites any, if he does not eat in Ramadan, they kill him. So Islam is beautiful in there. This was for 50 years. Even the names told me. He's known as Uthman, but he said, this is not my official name. This is the name of his grandfather, who was before the communists. But when his father wanted to register this newborn baby as Uthman, they refused. And they gave him a name which does not relate to Islam. She does not relate to Islam. And that's why all the du'at there, all the du'at, with no exception, all the du'at carry names other than Muslim names. Not because that's the culture there, but because their fathers were not allowed to give them Muslim names. In a plan to destroy the whole identity of Islam and Muslims. This was not out of Sidney Akwan. This is planned for years and centuries. And they succeeded to an advanced limit. So there are no any worshipping places, no any religious books, even the Quran, no any names that relate to Islam. How can the newborn children know Islam? Or even find something strange to ask about? And in 1990, they killed the imams of the masajid, the muaddineen, the teachers of the Quran, the du'as, and even the Muslim judges. No one to use any religious law. They killed them all, and they killed anyone disagree with them. But in 1990, people removed the communist government from Albania, which was good, but unfortunately, who received it? From the communist to the non-religious individuals. So, although they allow any religion to exist on land, but they don't support no one and they don't stop no one. And this open country today, every people came fast to take the first line. The Christians, they came to the limits that I saw in villages which are 100% Muslims, not any Christians, a big church. And there is not any single masjid. There is not even a single masjid. Other than the remainings of the deteriorated and destroyed old masjid, which is maybe 500 years ago built, and full with bushes and thorns, so no one can go there. Everybody went there. The Christians, the Qadianis, Nuristanis, a Sufi group which are very deviant, too far away from Islam. They call themselves Muslims, but they are from the worst groups ever known. And the الشيخون عند شهوداهم صهيونية شهوداهم شهوداهم هذا صهيونية anyway all the different religions came to spread their thoughts and beliefs except for the Muslims. The pure Muslims, Ahl Sunnah, they are too lazy. They are too deep in their entertainment of dunya. They are too stingy to spend for the sake of Allah. And that's why I never hesitated at first, I never hesitated to visit any country like my hesitation to visit Albania, because I always kept in mind that this is the land of the Imam. It must be, there must be many Imams there. But the reality is this Imam left Albania, his father, his family left Albania when he was only, I don't know, 2-3 years old. And he came to Syria and learned there. And then Allah Ta'ala made him to be an Imam. When I came to that, when I was convinced by the Albanian graduates of the University in Medina to go and visit, and it is a need, I went there. And I asked this brother who are insisting for me to go, aren't there any graduates? He said, yes, there are 200 or more. He said, well, what is the need for me to go? When I went there, I knew why he was insisting. It's not only for me to give dawah, but it is for other purpose. It is the real need, literally, and the dua, the graduates. Because they cannot spread the dawah. They have no any financial support, and they are very poor, very poor. Imagine that. The organization, the governmental organization that hires the imams of the masajid are from children, and they hire no one except from themselves. If you are graduated from any of their extension to spread, by the force of the government, they hire one or two, listen, than 200 riyals. $400 riyals, I forgot. That is the maximum what they can get. As the maximum of what they can get. No, 200 riyals. 200 riyals. Huh? Less than 200 years. How can they live? How can they live? And they are graduates, very qualified. They compile books. I saw them, I have the list. And they translated many books. They donated this $50. They collected it to publish, to print and publish whatever books they have translated. But to what limit? They can't. The children need food, need medicine, need school. And they themselves need for their teaching and translations. So they have no masjid. Very little number of masjid. And the masjid is the identity of the Muslims. Yes, until now, whatever masjid available, although it's small, it does not get fully occupied. Why? Because the masjid is the identity of Islam. It is needed for people to remember and come back. As I was told and one mustard, which is 1/4 size of this mustard. And last Friday it wasn't full. And I was shocked, why it is not full? This refurbished it and repair whatever damages the communist done to it. And that was 4 years ago. There were only maybe maximum 5 or 10 people come to the Jum'ah. In some places, the Imam and 2 persons come to the Jum'ah. Because it is something new to them. And there are no masajid, so they can't remember it. And no one in the schools or colleges is allowed to teach any religion until today. No one is allowed. So where people can hear, they can't go to the radio and TV stations because the hour higher for $10 million. They can't do it. They can't. So they need to bring the identity back to the ummah there. For that, to remind them of their religion and bring them back. People are coming, mashallah. Other than Elbistan, which is one big city in the center of Albania, which has 81 masajid, because of the people, because it is in the center, they kept Islam. And their people went to Kuwait and some other places and collected donations. We need to do that today to bring the Ummah back. The brothers who done this, they told me 4 years ago we had only in about 46 masajid. In 4 years, with the donations of the Muslims, they could build again around 30 something. This Ummah, ikhwan, was taken too far away from Islam up until they themselves believe that they are not Muslims. So we need to bring them back to Islam. The opportunity is great there for us to walk as the da'i, as the donator, even with little. Do not say it's only little. Even one single riyal can make a difference. Wallahi, one single riyal can make a difference. Don't say, I receive only small salary. And believe me, ikhwan, donations to these purposes is greater in view of than donation to the poor people. Because poor people need money to eat. But those countries and those places, we need to donate for Islam to exist, resist, stand, be seen. Because there are poor people there. But we are not donating to them because we don't know them. We don't know Islam there. But when we raise Islam first there, then we can see the Muslims, so we can help them. And I concluded the whole khutbah in this world, some other things remaining, as I reminded the brothers that the dua there, because of the little or the no income at all, they had to work under the da'wah. Some of them work as a construction laborer. Construction labor, he might have masters in Sharia, but he can't service now because he has family. As family. And they don't hire him even as an imam with the $50. They don't hire him. So, and no one sponsors him. What can he do? Some of them work day and night to translate the good books. But these good books are still sculptures and they're drawers. They did not come to the people because no one to donate for publishing. Muslims are only looking for more convenient life, more comfortable life, good furniture, etc., etc. We need to work harder and harder. The Sahaba, some of them used to work not for his need, but because he wants to donate and he doesn't have money. He just go work whatsoever, even to go to the bush, cut wood, carry it on his back, bring it and sell it, take money and donate to Sabila. We need to work extra time if we have no extra money to donate. We need to do something for our religion. The religion that we love, we believe in. We believe that it is our survival in the hereafter. It is our success. We need to sacrifice for it. It's not only a claim by tongue to be said. It's not only hopes in the heart to be wished. It's a real thing we need to work for. And once you die, whatever donation you make for like this works will keep the wheel of reward going on and on until the day of resurrection. You are there in the hall, buried, and your reward is continuing after you. Continuing. So we need to do so to serve our religion. Look at Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. In 1 year, Medina received no rains, so no fruit, no vegetables. People become hungry. Uthman radiallahu anhu was a businessman. He had a caravan coming from Sham, from Syria. 70 camels, fully loaded with grains, food, whatsoever. And he was a wholesale businessman. The retired businessman came to him, giving prices. And everyone giving more price than the other. But Uthman said, I found who paid me more. Up until they reached very high price, he said, no one, Uthman, here in Medina, can pay more than this. He said, yes, I found Allah Ta'ala says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ, the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. He gives me up to 700 times, and he gives me more than that. And he gave it to Sabilillah. And when Medina had no rain also, another year, and they had no water to drink except one well called Ruma, Bi'r Ruma, Rasulullah said, who can buy this well? And it was in the hand of Yahud. It was owned by Yahud. And the Yahud used to only sell water. He did not used to give water for free. You all know Yahud. You all know the Yahud. He, Uthman radiallahu anhu, immediately bought that well. And he said, I have a share like every Muslim. Not more. Uthman did that. Look at Talha ibn Ubaidillah. When Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayah where Allah Ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, you know my garden, Bayruha. That's the name of the garden. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go to it. It was to the south of the Masjid Nabawi. And there is a well there which is cold and very fresh water. And he used to go there and drink from it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to like that. Talha said, Ya Rasulullah, I make this fi sabilillah. He saw Salaf said to him, then give it to you, to the poor of your family. Abu Dahdah had a garden in Medina. That is all of his life. It is his garden that he earns from. It is his house that he lives in. Him and his family, children. In it, the world that he drinks from. One day he hears the Rasulullah says to a man who had a problem with his neighbor about one palm tree. And he said to the man, give the palm tree to